It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Welcome to Eco Talk, another great one coming up for you. In our first segment, we'll chat with Phil Bernstein about his software company, Autodesk. You've most likely heard about it. They're using technology to transform the face and meaning of sustainable design, a whole new green angle to Autodesk's work and services and products. And you've probably either been in or seen pictures of packed LA freeways. And today we'll have a special report from the ground level. Our resident Angelino Daniel Heinerfield will be giving us some good news. And that's how biking around the City of Angels is becoming increasingly popular, if you can duck out of the way of those cars coming at you anyway. And in our third segment, we'll be talking with Dean Devlin and Chelsea Sexton about a great new film. Hope you're all going to see it when it comes to a movie theater near you. Who Killed the Electric Car? Dean Devlin is the executive producer of that film. Chelsea Sexton is featured prominently in it. She was one of the activists who kept vigil outside the GM plant in Southern California as GM was forcing a collection of those electric cars, those EV1s, and in the dark of night, trucking them off to Mesa, Arizona, where they were crushed. That taking place a little over a year ago, just as the price of gas was going up, and we're entangled in a war that has something to do with oil and lots of other ironies. We'll find out more about the making of that movie. And then, if that drama isn't enough for you, we'll check in with author Jordan Fisher Smith. He's going to be talking about his new book called Nature Noir. Really interesting angle on the things people do in nature. It's an environmental thriller which relates harrowing and inspiring tales from his days as a park ranger in the American canyons. First, want to thank Autodesk for being a sponsor of EcoTalk, and that's a good place to introduce Phil Bernstein, who is not only an executive, a vice president, in fact, with Autodesk, but also a professor, and he teaches, professional practices at the Yale School of Architecture, and there's a green connection there. So thanks for joining us. We've been trying to get you on for a couple of weeks now to talk about what Autodesk is offering in relation to sustainable design, and also about some of the work you're teaching and some of the hopefully increasing interest that you're seeing on university campuses in sustainable design.
Sure, my pleasure.
So first of all, you've been in the architecture industry for some time. What kind of changes have you seen just as you've either been in it or covered it or studied it?
Well, there are a number of changes going on out there. I mean, the sustainable design movement is probably the one that's the most prominent right now. I'd say that from when I started my career in the early 80s to now, there's been a pretty dramatic adjustment in the attitude of architects and owners and contractors about the relationship between how buildings and how they affect the environment. I mean, when I was a college student, solar architecture and solar energy was very sort of prominent, but that was more like plumbing. This is more, the sustainable design movement is more like a philosophical point of view, and it's a big change.
Now, I should mention that Autodesk is the leading provider, one of them, of design software. Has Autodesk been interested in environmental impact and effects on community of building and development for a long time? Maybe I'm just newly aware of what you're here to talk about today, which is Autodesk's Green Initiative.
Well, our tools are designed to enable designers, whether they're architects or engineers or contractors, to understand the thing that they're building better before they go out and build it. And for a long time, the tools that were available to those folks were essentially drafting tools. They made drawings. Now our tools make digital simulations of the buildings before they're actually constructed. And one of the opportunities that allows a green designer is to understand how much energy the building is going to consume, how much water the building is going to consume, and what its relationship is to the outside world before you actually go out into the field and construct it. And that's a pretty new thing. That's something that's really only happened in the last couple of years, and it's something that we're working very hard on.
And, of course, the CAD technology was new a couple of years back, and now there's something called BIM. What's that, and how's it different from CAD?
Well, CAD, or CAD, was really using a computer to make a drawing. It's almost like a word processing program. Building information modeling is more like a video game. It's like having a virtual environment with a digital representation of a building that can actually behave like that building in the computer. So not just to understand what it looks like, but actually have the building absorb energy, use water, see how the daylight comes into the building, see what how the different types of glass, for example, might affect the energy performance of the building. It's really about understanding the building digitally before you build it, actually.
And what about Autodesk's commitment to environment, just as a corporate concept?
Well, we are very committed to making sure that our customers who are out there building all these buildings have the proper set of tools and are properly aware of what this large sort of initiative is about around the world. And so not only are we building technologies that we think will allow people to make that happen, but we've been trying to do some other things as well. We were sponsoring this year this PBS series called E2, The Economy of the Environment.
Was that the one with Brad Pitt?
Yeah, that's the one that Brad Pitt narrated. I have four teenage daughters. They all want to know when they're going to meet
Brad Pitt.
I'm hoping I can arrange that.
That's when he was on TV without it being connected to Angelina and their new baby.
It was actually probably a nice break for him. But he agreed to narrate the series because he's been very interested in issues of sustainable design. And it's a series of six episodes on PBS that talk about how green building initiatives are taking shape in cities like New York and Boston and places like China, just to give the more general public an idea about this idea that's this initiative that's really becoming quite popular. A number of our students are interested in it. The federal government has gotten interested in it, and we're just trying to do our part as the providers of design platforms.
Is Autodesk doing outreach? Is there really a proactive commitment to promoting sustainable design as a concept?
Yeah, we're trying to do that in a number of different ways. The E2 series was one of them, providing as much information as we possibly can for our customers who have to sort of manage these tremendous amounts of information that flow in about this topic is another. We've got a couple of initiatives going with government agencies that are establishing the green building standards, who understand the relationship between how technology can help that sort of make that happen from their perspective. We're doing some working with the Green Building Council. We're trying to touch all sides of the equation as best we can.
There's something called LEED certification, which is basically the standard for assessing the greenness of a structure or project.
Right.
Some say that LEED certification is too expensive, it's too time-consuming to bother with. Can software or anything that Autodesk has to offer help with this assessment, look at all the financial impacts and environmental impacts before you commit to it?
Well, sure. I mean, we believe that understanding the green behavior of a building, and one of the ways you measure that is by these LEED standards, the Leadership in Environmental and Energy Design, is to be able to quickly understand how much your building is affecting those standards. And if we can help designers do that by providing those capabilities in their design tool, then clearly they don't have to go through those processes manually. And it's the manual process that's really so expensive and so time-consuming.
Do you think that it's pretty much understood now that, reducing material waste can save money? I mean, for, the last 5-10 years that I've been covering the emergence of green building, that's been one of the points that have been trying to be made, that, this actually saves money, helps the bottom line. Are we past that?
Well, I don't think we're quite past it yet, at least not on that issue. I mean, the big question is, of course, how do you trade off the efficiency of the systems that we currently use to build buildings against an attitude about how you might save material? And let's take example of the gypsum wall board that's put up inside a building when it's under construction. Maybe 25 or 35% of that material that's delivered to the job site ends up in the dumpster because it's so much faster to simply cut large sheets of it and throw away the scraps. If you can begin to simulate how those kinds of building systems are installed, you can help designers and contractors develop strategies that actually reduce those materials.
I want to ask you about your students at Yale. Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No,
okay. We just have about a minute left, but I just want to ask you if there's a lot of excitement. Are you seeing sort of new interest in architecture because of this whole new green angle?
No question about it. I teach what's called professional practice, which is explaining to young architects how to run the process of buildings, how to organize the projects and execute them, how to organize their practices. And my students are extremely interested in understanding not just how to do it, but what the meaning is and how do they incorporate that into their processes. And we've also, starting next year actually, we'll begin for the first time in the history of our School of Architecture at Yale, give a degree in green architecture. You can stay for an extra year, study, do a year of study at the School of Forestry, and when you graduate, you essentially have what we call a joint degree. It's a forestry and architecture degree. It's essentially a green master's.
Well, Yale School of Forestry is one of the greenest departments out there. We love them. So,
yeah, and they partnered up with us at the School of Architecture to offer this new program.
You know, this story gives me hope. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Phil Bernstein, a busy guy, not only leading the Building Solutions Division at Autodesk, but also teaching professional practice at the Yale School of Architecture, taking time out of his busy schedule to tell us about some of the new hopeful technology tools that are being offered to encourage green building and efficiency.
Thanks for joining us. My pleasure.
And for more information about this segment and today's guest, go to our website at ecotalk.net. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us.